Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of On the Trail is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. You can check them out online at heartlandflags.com or check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. They have pretty much every flag that you could ever want for any kind of need. If you're Rob Gray, they've got bird flags for your garden. If you're Adam Gray, they've got Atlanta Braves flags. If you're Chris Williams, they've got all your NASCAR flags. If you're me, they've got NBA flags. They've got Minnesota Vikings flags. They've got St. Louis Cardinals flags. They've got everything, Adam Gray. They've got pretty much any kind of flag that you could ever need. Heartland Flags online. Heartlandflags.com. 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines.
I liked everything you said there except the NASCAR flags and the St. Louis Cardinals flags. I don't think anyone.
What was that you said? Almost said there?
Flags. I don't think anyone really needs those flags. I don't think anyone wants to look at those. But every other flag sounds great. I would take any of those. I'd take a Vikings flag.
You'd take a Birds flag?
Yeah, I'd put it back in a spot where not many people could see it. But you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I was with Rob Tuesday night.
Yeah.
At Whiskey River here in Ankeny.
You pretty much run that spot now.
Yeah, it's my spot.
That's your go-to place.
Free
advertising for him right there.
And he told me that he's got a few bird photos in the chamber. He's waiting to unleash. So you can expect those on Facebook any day.
I'm going to mute Rob on Facebook. I'm telling you that right now. You know what, though? No, I'll take that over the political Facebook posts.
Rob always has some very sentimental Facebook statuses. I respect it.
Yeah. No, you know what? He's real. I like real.
Yeah.
I can disagree with real, but if you're real, I'm cool with it.
See, yeah. Facebook is where he can fully unleash his abilities as a writer. Twitter, I feel like he's harnessed a little bit with my 140 characters.
Yep.
But on Facebook, you really see the long form abilities of Rob Gray come out in full force.
See, where I would really shine is the opposite. If we could get down to about 10 characters, that's where I would really step up my game.
There'd be a lot of four letter words in used in those tweets, I'm sure.
The less I can type out to show off how dumb I am, the better.
Oh, okay. So, what all are we going to talk about today? We've got, obviously, got a new commit.
Yep. You were up in Clear Lake last night.
Yep. We're going to mention Trevor Downing as well.
Yeah, so we're recording this on a Wednesday, but the plan is not to upload
this
until
Thursday, actually.
It's been a long week, buddy. Thursday, but we're not uploading this until tomorrow on Friday, right?
Yeah.
So there might be a little bit of change, a little bit of breaking news potentially coming out.
Yeah, potentially.
After we've done this, because right now it's 9 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. So
yeah.
Just throwing that out there for people.
For some reason, we have to accommodate the Fawcast so that they can...
Can you
have Thursdays.
Can you believe how much the Fawcast is going to drop off in 1 week? They're going from me to Keith Murphy. Unbelievable.
I feel like I probably can't. I probably can't start a beef. I can't start an On the Trail and Fawcast beef with like one episode of On the Trail remaining. That probably would not be in the best interest of my career.
I can't because I get the last say. I get the last say, and I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, we've only have. This is the second to last episode of On the Trail. Are you going to cry on the last one?
No, I won't cry. But, you know, I might, you know, well, I might have a little something prepared.
A little something prepared?
A little speech? A little statement
there
for everybody.
All right, so let's start with CJ Bolar, the new commit out of Purvis, Mississippi. 6'2", 185-pound wide receiver. The number 99 receiver in the class and the number 6 prospect in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah. They continue to go down and recruit Mississippi, which I think is incredibly impressive. You know, that was the big, I don't want to say knock, but that was the big question when Campbell put together their staff is where are they going to have these recruiting ties? Where are they going to have them? And so far, it doesn't really seem to matter. They're going anywhere to get kids, and Mississippi being one place where last year they picked up Cordelius Bailey, and Cam White was from there. Obviously, he didn't commit, but wasn't Josh Johnson from there? Or is Josh Johnson?
He's from Arkansas.
Arkansas, that's right. But they're down there in that area. So, you know, a nice commitment. The wide receiver position appears to be a position that they've recruited well, but we won't really know for a couple years. Deshante Jones obviously was a stud as a freshman.
Yeah.
But there's a group of about 4 or 5 guys that I think here in the next year or two, we're going to really see if the coaching staff's got a good eye for the position.
Well, it's interesting because he's the highest rated wide receiver commit that Iowa State's gotten since Alan Lazard in 2014.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Which is crazy when you – I mean, they've gotten some good receivers since then. So that's – I mean, that's pretty – impressive when you think about it from that standpoint.
He's a higher rated recruit than Josh Johnson was last year.
Yes, and Deshante Jones.
Well, Jones was a 4-star, wasn't he? On one of the sites, at least?
Maybe Scout. I don't know. Yeah, he was. I
You're like, maybe Scout. What about our guy who you know I like quite a bit, and Matt Eaton? He's ready to hire Matt Eaton?
Yeah,
he is. 8405. I'm looking at 247 competition.
We talked to Matt Eaton last night.
Did you?
Yeah, he had an MCL sprain that held him out of spring camp.
How does he look as
said
an athlete?
He looks good.
Yeah.
He looks solidly built. Yeah, he's a good-looking kid.
Yeah.
He said he wants to be the number one receiver in the country.
Hopefully he means that and it's not like a JP Filbert type deal.
Or a DeMond Tucker type deal where he said Iowa State was going to win the national championship and he was going to be the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, and you know, we're joking about this, but it's funny. I was listening to Mike and Mike in the morning when I was driving over here and...
Were you the only listener?
What do you mean only listener? You think that show's been on for 17 years because it doesn't get anybody to listen to it?
Do you listen to it like for real or you listen to it ironically to make fun of them?
I would much rather listen to that than anything else going on. What else is on at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning that's worth listening to?
You could listen to podcasts.
I usually have podcasts I've already had listened to from the day before. There's no new podcasts out in the morning.
What? That's not true.
I don't listen to that many. I listen to what you guys have to say. I might pop in like a Bill Simmons podcast during the NBA playoffs, but other than that, I don't listen to his podcast. What else is there to listen to?
Well, there's just the teed up one that I was just listening to when you got here.
Yeah, I might have to subscribe to that one.
Larry Wilmore, Black on the Air, started last week. That one's actually pretty interesting. It's a little bit about some social issues.
Okay.
He's got Bernie Sanders on today.
Nah, I'll pass. I don't really know why you're taking a shot on Mike and Mike in the morning. They've been on for they'll be on for 18 years before they break up. 18, and you're telling me that nobody listens to that show?
I'm a loyal, pardon my take, listener, and they do not. They only make fun of Mike and Mike.
Why? Because they don't have to be outlandish in their statements.
No, because they're
boring.
People and call them Mickey and Mickey, like
who's people?
A lot of people. I guarantee if you Google Mickey and Mickey, Mike and Michael come up.
I've never heard it before, so maybe only
because you have your head under a rock.
I don't like.
And you listen to Mike and Mike, and the only radio you listen to is ESPN the radio. ESPN radio.
No, it's not true at all. I listen to Dan Patrick. I listen to a lot of different stuff. But in the morning, no offense to local people here, I'd rather listen to Mike and Mike than the local morning show here. I would. I'm being honest.
They have more advertisers than any radio show in the history of the world, I think.
I wonder why. Probably, I bet the advertisers look at it and say, you know what? Nobody listens to this show. Therefore, I'm going to spend all this money.
If so many people listen to it, why are they breaking them up?
Maybe because they can take two of their talents and break them up. I don't know.
You really think that that's going to work?
No, but I'm not an ESPN. I'm not in there. I'm not in the meetings.
You need to ask your guy. Why are you breaking up Mike and Mike?
I'm telling you this right now. You said, you're the one person listens to it. And then 2 minutes later, you just said...
You're right, okay.
They have more people, more advertisers than any other... Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because nobody listens?
Okay, you and PFT commentator are the only ones... Or commenter are the only ones that listen to it. You don't know who that is, but...
Yeah, I do.
He listens.
I follow him on Twitter. what a ridiculous take by you. Back to my point.
Don't listen to Mike and Mike. They don't have takes.
Okay. Golic said... that every time he played in the NFL, even if he was going up against a guy that ended up being in the Hall of Fame on an offensive line, every time he lined up against the guy, he thought he was beating him. And you have to have that mentality in football. You have to have the mentality pretty much almost in life that you think you're going to be better. You're going to be the best. So Matt Eaton saying he's going to be the best wide receiver in the country, you have to have that attitude. If you don't have that attitude, you're going to get eaten alive, especially in the Big 12. So I love it. We can sit here and I made fun of JP Philper and you took a shot at DeMond Tucker. I don't know why you had to take a shot at DeMond Tucker, but
DeMond's a good guy. It's just funny that was the first thing he said in an interview at Iowa State.
And it got people blown up about it because Iowa State had just come off with a 2-3 win season. But you have to have the attitude. So if everybody on the team shared that same attitude as Matt Eaton, the team would be a lot better off.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I'm not going to be mad about it if Matt Eaton is the number one receiver in the country, because then you probably got two of the 15 best receivers in the country.
Yeah, no, it'd be great. I've been very vocal in my excitement for Matt Eaton.
I'm interested to see what position he plays.
A wide receiver. They're going to
which wide receiver spot?
They'll put him up outside, I would imagine.
Because you got Lazard, you've got Hakeem Butler, you've got Jones,
We got options, man.
You still have Trevor Ryan?
Well, you know.
Trevor Ryan got hurt running track last week.
Did he?
Yeah, he pulled his hamstring. Ugh. According to per Eric Charter Track on Twitter.
You follow Eric Charter on track?
Of course.
No, I don't.
You didn't see Jamie Pollard tweeting about him the other day?
No.
Said he would have won fan of the meet if there was such a thing at the Big 12 track meet.
When there's no one else to compete with because no one else is there watching it, then yeah, that's what typically happens.
This is unfair of you to take shots at Eric because he probably only listens to the podcast. He'll never know that you did this.
No, he listens. Yeah, he's a big fan of mine. No. I didn't know about Trevor Ryan. It's too bad. He's got plenty of time though to recover. He should be fine.
Yeah.
No, it's a good problem to have because Iowa State's got so many guys and they're going to rotate him out. I mean, you run a fly pattern to, let's say, Lazard. Lazard's 40, 50 yards downfield. You pull him out that next play. You throw in a Keem Butler. You throw in a Matt Eaton in there, and there's not going to be the huge drop off like there used to be. I'm not saying that a Keem Butler's Alan Lazard. I'm not saying that at all, but. It used to be if Iowa State took out their best receiver, whether it be Darius Reynolds or Quentin Bundridge, and they put in somebody, their fifth guy, it was a huge, huge drop-off. Huge.
Iowa State only needs one passing play now. Four verts.
Four verts. You think Jacob Park would be afraid to throw that ball?
No.
No, he's gunslinging it. That's why I love Jacob Park. Throw that rock, buddy.
Got Chase Allen running the deep end.
The skinny little post there? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. I think this Iowa State offense is going to be as good as it's ever been. In fact, it's going to be the best Iowa State offense in history. It is. It's going to happen. Get used to some points. I'm not saying they're going to be scoring 40 points, but they only have to score 32 points a game or something like that to be the best offense in Iowa State history. And they're going to do that.
Would that surpass the 2001? Is that?
Yeah, they're going to break every record, Jared. It's going to happen.
Okay.
Part of it is they get more possessions than they used to.
This will be part of your Adam's Final Takes podcast.
Yeah, next week I'm coming, everybody. Listen, I'm bringing 10 strong takes that people are either going to remember me as being a genius with or remember me for being an idiot. But I'm not shying away. I'm throwing it out there, and I'm lifting my hands up in the air, and I'm walking off. I'm walking off. That's how I'm going out here at Cyclone Fanatic.
It'll be like just like Derek Jeter in his final game. You with the walk-off hit.
Well, if you're going to compare me to someone, Derek Jeter, I think is fair. It's a fair comparison.
You're not the captain, though.
No. Okay. Maybe.
Okay, so let's get back to CJ Bolar, where we started this whole conversation.
Yeah.
You said you had a comparison. Who is this?
Yeah, and I just mentioned him a little bit earlier. Size-wise, he's fast. He's not elite speed, but he's really, really good speed. Reminds me a lot of Quentin Bundridge. And Quentin Bundridge, I mean, people might forget, he was poised to be one of Iowa State's best receivers ever. Now, I'm not saying he's the best, but one of, until his junior year when he went to block on one of the first, second plays of the game against North Dakota State and hurt his leg and was out for the season, and that really kind of hurt him. But Quentin Bundridge was a heck of a receiver. This kid
was that was supposed to be Iowa State's best offense of all time.
Yeah, says who?
Everybody was hyping them up. It's a good receiving core that year.
That was Lazard's freshman year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they.
Well, that was funny because Paul Rhodes came into the season saying Lazard wasn't going to play that much, and then Quentin Bundridge blew out his knee on the second play of the year.
Yeah. And Lazard started every game.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, this kid, just from watching his tape, size-wise, 6'2", 186 pounds, reminds me a lot of Quentin Bundridge. And I think if he ends up being like Bundridge, I think that's a great pickup. Because especially if Bundridge ends up being like your second, third guy rather than your first guy, that's when you got a really, really good receiving core.
Yeah.
Really good.
I think that receiver is not a position where they will be hurting in the next several years.
No. We're hyping these guys up. We're hyping up Matt Eaton because Campbell's essentially done that for us. Jalen Martin, we've talked about. Josh Johnson. Some of these guys, but we don't really know. We don't know.
It's crazy to think that some of these guys, I mean, you hear how good they are, but Jalen Martin, he's going to be a redshirt freshman, still might not even hardly see the field.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he caught more than 10 balls this year.
Yeah.
10 balls would be – I'd take the under, actually.
He'll be catching passes from Kyle Kemp when Iowa State's up 50-0 in games.
Against Texas Tech again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody. Why just Texas Tech?
Because they beat him by 60 last year.
Yeah, they'll be up like 80-0 against them.
I heard you guys both – I listened to you and Chris's podcast last week. Good, or was it this week?
Yeah, it was last week.
Last week. It was a Saturday podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys ranked the coaches, and you guys were ripping on Kingsbury.
Yeah, Kingsbury's a bad coach, dude.
I don't disagree with you at all. I agreed with most of what you guys had to say.
Most of it? What did you disagree with?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but there's a couple minor stuff, right, where yeah. I might have moved a guy here or there. But, you know, I thought it was a good podcast. I enjoyed it.
The one that I took the most heat for was putting Matt Rhule ahead of Matt Campbell.
Yeah. I didn't.
But I felt
I didn't mind your take on that.
I felt like I wasn't able to fully justify it because people said that, how have I seen Matt Rhule do it on the field? Well, I saw Matt Rhule win 10 games in back-to-back seasons at Temple.
Yeah.
And Temple has been terrible for 100 years. I've
watched Matt Rhule give he's gone on ESPN and done interviews on there. Extremely impressive guy.
Yeah.
And to sell that program with everything that's going on right now is incredibly difficult, and he does a great job. I just don't know why anyone would take that job.
I was going to say, I find it very hard to believe he could not have gotten a better job.
Yeah.
I would think that he could have gotten the Oregon job.
Possibly, or just wait another year and get
yeah.
– I mean, honestly, in a couple years
– he had as many people get drafted in the NFL as – and especially in the first round. It's yeah. just about anybody. I think they had two people in the first round.
Yeah. Good recruit. I mean, he was a very impressive guy. I just don't know anyone would take that job. And since you guys even did your Saturday podcast, more stuff's come out about Baylor. I mean,
yeah, Chris, I didn't listen to Chris's show yesterday,
stuff.
But yeah, I was reading that story, man.
Ugh,
that's just
sickening. So, and you know, it's unfortunately for, I don't want to say unfortunately, he took the job. He's getting paid well, but that's a tough job, right?
They got to release the report. The Pepper Hamilton report. They got to do it.
Yeah.
They got to. If they want this to end, which it won't, but.
It's, I mean, when something like this gets opened up, then what it does too is it allows media members to go and do some investigative reporting. It
yeah.
has other people that would have been assaulted.
Lawyers, you've got them in there digging around.
Can, yep. People that have been victims are now, they're strength in numbers, right? They're coming forward, which is great. I think is a good thing. They need to come forward. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if this lingers on for another couple of years. Just people slow. I mean, it's just more and more stuff
yeah.
coming out, and it's just a horrible, horrible story. Very sad. Let's get off that though. Let's get back onto so CJ Buller, Iowa State picked him up. He's the sixth commitment of this class.
Yep.
Second wide receiver. Two guys with some good speed, but turn between him and Sterling Galbon.
Mm-hmm.
But
Carson Schlecker from Allen, Texas, will be visiting this weekend as well.
Who?
Carson Schlecker.
Schlecker?
Yeah, he's a receiver from Allen, Texas.
They're loading up on receivers,
we'll
huh?
We'll be visiting this weekend. I think they're going to take one more receiver in the class.
Okay, so this year, let's pull up the handy-dandy scholarship chart. They're losing Lazard, obviously, after this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big one. Trevor Ryan will be gone. Murdoch and Brandon Harris, who's never played. So they, you know, four guys. So three, I think signing three would be good for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Speaking of visitors, Trevor Downey, the Creston offensive lineman that we've talked a lot about on this podcast,
yep,
will be visiting on Thursday.
Which is today.
Yeah, so today. The thing that I will say is I would not be surprised if by the time this podcast is posted, his recruitment is done, has ended.
Okay, and he's committed to Iowa State. So, no, let's do this, Jared. Let's have a conversation right now as if he's committed to Iowa State.
Okay,
and
then we'll have one as if he isn't.
No, I mean, okay. So first and foremost, yeah, I think me and you both,
I
and
think
you both think he's going to commit.
Yeah,
to Iowa
I
State.
Think that he'll be at Iowa State.
So yeah, if he doesn't, if he commits elsewhere, then people will listen to 15 minutes of us talking here where we sound like idiots, and that's perfectly fine.
That sounds like every week.
Yeah, but it's just a little bit more.
The first 15 minutes of this podcast, even.
A little bit more obvious.
Yeah.
This is would be the biggest commitment in Matt Campbell's first three classes.
I would agree with that.
I'm trying to think of who else would be a bigger commitment. Let's pull this up here. Let's go back. Okay, 2016. I mean, Sean Foster was a four-star, right? Seems like a big commit.
Yeah, but
Chase Allen was a huge commit they got over Michigan and Florida State.
Yeah. The thing that would make Trevor Downing bigger than both of those is the fact that they would have officially beat out head-to-head the guys in Iowa City.
Yeah. Yep. That's 100%. Because there are other guys that Iowa State's gotten where they've beaten out big programs for guys that – I mean, Jaquan Bailey was a huge get when they
right.
got Jaquan Bailey. So they, I would say, this coaching staff has shown that they can beat out other schools, but Iowa State is never in my lifetime that I can remember being at Iowa for an offensive lineman.
That they truly showed that they want it as a priority. Yeah.
Never. I mean, I listened to, if anyone hasn't listened, go back and listen to Chris Williams' interview with Steve Loney. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think it was great. Loney mentioned one guy that was one of the first guys that they got with when McCarney was there. And that might have been one guy. But he said it was the only guy they ever got. I don't remember Chizik beating out anyone, Iowa, for an offensive lineman. I don't remember Rhodes doing it. This is a big, big deal. And Iowa's an offensive line factory. They turn them out. Those guys go to the NFL. And for Campbell and Manning especially, I think this is huge for Manning, to go in there and be able to sell this kid, hey, we can do this for you. You can come play for Iowa State, potentially go to the NFL. I think this opens up a huge door for Iowa State to finally start getting – They're not gonna win a ton of battles still, especially with guys over in the eastern part of the state. But they're gonna start winning more.
I think that they
than they have been.
I wouldn't be surprised if 2 years from now, the state is almost split down the middle by I-35. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean it kind of is getting that way a little bit.
But I would not be at all surprised to see Iowa State start getting the majority of the guys on the western half of the state while Iowa gets the guys on the eastern half.
I'm pulling it up here too.
With a few exceptions, but
yeah. No, I think Trevor Downing committing to Iowa State, I think it's a great get. I think it's huge, especially for the offensive line that's been so decimated for so long for Iowa State. They got to start building it up, and you could kind of do these plug and play guys like they've done with Dawson, and they did last year with the center last year, Bobek.
Brian Bobek.
Yeah, Bobek. But really, for them to get to where they want, you got to continue to get the high school guys in here, develop them, and have them ready to play as redshirt sophomore, juniors, and seniors.
Yeah.
And this would be a great start for them and a great commitment in a class that's not going to have a lot of guys.
Yeah, this would be huge. I actually wouldn't be surprised at all if some of this recruitment had something to do with Brian Ferentz's rant that he went on.
I'm just going off the fact it probably had everything to do with it.
Yeah, I think that this was probably a big thing with it.
They knew. I mean, as far as an offensive lineman, Trevor Downing is the number one rated offensive line recruit in the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
Iowa gets those guys, and for them not to get it, it's kind of like whoa, wait a second, what's going on here? Like who? So I said this before. I think it's a good time for Iowa to take a shot at Iowa State because they are coming off back-to-back seasons. They've won 20 games. They've gone to a Rose Bowl. They just got done kicking the crap out of Campbell and his team on the field. So if you're going to take a shot, you take it now. But they don't make those comments unless Iowa State's – they know they're making some headway.
Bothering them in some way.
They're making some headway. I'm going to go through all the classes here, the top offensive linemen in the state, and see here for what happened.
For people that didn't know, Trevor Downing was on campus in Iowa City – I want to say it was Monday, and then he was at Minnesota probably Tuesday. And when he would just so happened when he was in Iowa City on Monday, multiple time All-Pro offensive lineman Marshall Yanda was also in Iowa City. Just so happened to be.
Yeah.
Just worked out that way.
You know, that reminds me. It reminds me when Harrison Barnes went to UNC for a visit, and Michael George just happened to be there.
Why would anybody even care about him?
I never heard. I had actually when that came out, I had to Google who the guy was. but that stuff happens.
Some bad radio Gray looks up the.
Yeah, it is bad radio. I'm sorry. Iowa last year, the top two offensive linemen in the state, Tristan Wirfs and Mark Kallenberger, both went to Iowa.
Uh huh.
So actually, in Iowa State, didn't even get Zach Dykstra, who went to Miami. So when they went down to Colin Newell, Colin Newell was the fourth-rated offensive lineman in the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's usually Iowa State gets kind of the slim pickings in the state of Iowa when it comes to offensive linemen. So this would be big. What were we just talking about? I had a comment.
Trevor Downing. We were talking about him.
No, I know. It wasn't that, though.
Marshall Yanda.
Oh, Marshall Yanda. Yeah. I have no problem with Iowa doing it. Is that legal, by the way? Is that legal or not legal? Is it illegal?
I don't know that it is illegal if it's by coincidence.
And you can't prove that it's not, right?
Right.
But if Iowa State had this tradition at a certain position and they are recruiting one of the top guys, use it, man. Like, yeah. That's part of it. And Iowa, we can hate him as much as we do, and at the same time, they have been an offensive line factory. They have offensive linemen drafted in the NFL every single year.
But hey, maybe he was just on campus. It just was, you know, coincidence. Yeah, but
probably not.
Yeah.
I forgot. Jake Heinrich from Urbandale 2 years ago went to Arkansas, and John Raridan from Valley went to Nebraska. Is that Raridan kid, is he going to be playing for Nebraska anytime soon?
Yeah, he'll probably play this year.
Will he?
Yeah.
So that 2 years ago, Iowa didn't get any of the top guys from the offensive linemen in the state. So, yeah, I'm going back to that.
Do you think they're pissed at Brett Bielema?
I think they're always pissed at Brett Bielema.
True.
Does anybody like Brett Bielema?
Paul Rhodes.
Well, because he pays him money?
Well, yeah. Wouldn't you like Brett Bielema if he paid you money?
I know. No, not necessarily. I'd be thankful for him for paying me money. Doesn't mean I'd like him.
All right, last thing. Mike Johnson, officially no longer a member of the Iowa State football team. Matt Campbell told us during an interview that there would be finality soon. And then 30 minutes later, I saw a video on Twitter where Mike said that he would be playing somewhere else after he was sentenced by a Story County court yesterday. Somebody went to the Story County courthouse to talk to Mike Johnson after his sentencing. And then we asked Matt Campbell about it, and he confirmed that he will no longer be part of the Iowa State football team.
And that position is, without question, the biggest question mark for Iowa State's defense next year.
Yeah.
The opposite of
Kamar Kotler. Well, besides the offensive or the defensive line.
No, I think defensive line, you got a pretty good idea. I mean, they're going to be bringing in the defensive line's going to – I don't think there's a question mark there. Do you?
I mean, they've got guys. It's just
Tongamoa, Lima, Vernell Trent, that's your top three, and Johnson, Jamal Johnson. You have four guys in the defensive line right there that you know are – those are going to be the guys.
You at defensive tackle spots?
Defensive tackle.
Okay.
Defensive end, you got Jaquan Bailey, J.D. Wagner, you know, and then you can bring in Matt Leo if you want, or Carson Lensing, and Uwazurike. So you have an idea.
Uwazurike.
Who's playing at safety? Opposite
Everett
of Cotton
Edwards.
Williams.
Everett Edwards, I bet. And then Reggie Wilkerson will play the star.
Okay. That's it? You feel good about that?
Don't you? Don't you feel like that'd be a pretty good little – that'd be a pretty good little team?
Be okay.
And then you've got
Edwards is pretty small.
Yeah. But then you've got Braxton Lewis, and who was the freshman that – I can't remember his name right now.
Well,
it's slipping my –
Jatarius Grant?
Yeah, Jatarius Grant. He plays safety too.
Uh-huh. I like the way he looked in the spring game.
Yeah.
And granted, it's a spring game. You don't know. But I like the way he looked. No, I mean, I
– And then you've got Payne and Peavy on the edges.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to the defense coordinator after the spring game, and – He was very open about the question mark at safety opposite of Cotton Moya. And Cotton Moya didn't play that game. So all they had out there were these young guys who have never played any Big 12 football. And, you know, I think that they got plenty of time to be ready, and they'll have Cotton Moya back, which will help a ton. But that is, I mean, that's the question mark. I mean, I think you got a pretty good idea every other position. But that one, I think there's still a little bit of question mark who's going to step up and be the guy.
I agree. Yeah.
So. So, yeah, Mike Johnson's gone, keeping a nice running. It seems like every year Iowa State loses a safety who's only like a freshman or sophomore who started the year before. TJ Mutcherson was in that conversation before, talented kid who ended up leaving. Now Mike Johnson. For Iowa State to really, really turn the page as a program in football, they gotta slowly stop the leaking of depth. You know what I mean? Guys that have played and all of a sudden they're not here as juniors and seniors to really take advantage of being on the field, you know, as freshmen and sophomores.
Matt Campbell, one for one with the Salt dismissals. One for one. Great character here in the Iowa State football program. Yeah. Unlike those jokers down in Waco, Texas.
I'm not. I don't need to comment on that. Yeah. So no, I'm excited. I am really excited about football. I think this team's going bowling. I think they're gonna be enjoyable to watch. My main goal every year for Iowa State football is not to have any of these games where it's over at halftime.
Yeah.
Where it's 35-6, and you just know that there's no chance of them coming back. I want every game to be competitive, even against the Oklahomas of the world. Oh, it was last year. And really, after Iowa State stunk the first couple games, the rest of the season, for the most part, they were pretty competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now you get an upgrade in talent. They've been in the program for a year under Campbell. I think next year, not only they go to a bowl game, they win six games. The games that they lose, they're going to be in it in the fourth quarter, and that's all you can ask for as a fan of Iowa State football.
I highly recommend that everybody goes back and listens to Chris's podcast with Steve Loney if you have not done so already. What do you think of the idea of putting a Dan McCartney statue up?
I don't think he can.
Yeah, I agree, probably.
I don't think he – and I feel bad.
I see where he's coming from, though.
Yeah, and first off, how great is it to have friends like that have your back so much?
Right,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about. And Dan McCartney did more for Iowa State football than anyone in my lifetime. There's no question about it. He took a program that was, you know, maybe the worst in the country, one of for sure.
Uh-huh.
And they won 9 football games. They got ranked 9th in the country. But still, at the end of the day, never won a Big 12 title. I think he had a losing record, you know, back and forth. I think you can do something for Dan. I just don't know if you can put a statue up.
Yeah.
That to me almost seems like you're celebrating mediocrity.
Yeah.
I know that sounds harsh. I know people are going to disagree, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I agree that what Dan McCartney did for Iowa State was fantastic, and he should be celebrated for that, which he was, in my opinion, because he was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone always seems like, oh, you got to do even more.
Yeah.
Why? He was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think that's a nice honor. He put a plaque up of him. A statue? I think statue. If you want to put a statue up of Troy Davis, who rushed for 2,000 yards twice and finished second in the Heisman, that to me is a little bit more...
Not too sure about that one.
Well, you can't do it now. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, this guy's got a record that might not ever be broken in NCAA football.
Yeah, for sure.
So to me, that kind of accomplishment should be celebrated.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's the picture of his mugshot on the face of the statue. I don't know, Jared. I don't know.
All right, now that we went there, Keith Murphy
should never be
on the podcast this week. Make sure and check that out. Chris and I will have the Saturday podcast as well as always. Thanks again to our friends at Heartland Flags. Check them out online. HeartlandFlags.com, 3719 Southwest 9th Street. Next week, Adam Gray says goodbye to On the Trail. Tune in, everybody. Have a great week.